And, you know, he said he was going to drain the swamp. Original things, and that he didn't lie about that one. My apologies for the big music in the background. Well, it's giant speakers that they have the length of the mall from the Lincoln Mall to the Washington Mall.
Is Trump speaking right now?
No, he's not. He's not coming in for at least another 30 minutes. Before he arrives, I think there's going to be a flyover by Air Force, I think. You know, several jets, several helicopters.
Have you seen? Tell me something. What has the military presence been like there today?
Well, on the streets, as we were coming into the mall, there were military, like Humvees, that were parked on virtually every corner, which that's the first time I've ever seen it. And then we also had, the military had some of that type of vehicles in the Independence Day parade. They do have two tanks, one on Lincoln Memorial. Those were the tanks that probably most people saw.
Yeah,
we were out here yesterday and kind of got up close to them, and the military didn't take much time in polishing them up. They look pretty ratty.
They weren't ratty. You have military. Ann Wright joining us with Code Pink, and I just wanted to remind listeners, by the way, that that you and Code Pink are debuting on WBAI and WPFW in a co-production Thursdays at 11 a.m. starting July 18th, the Code Pink radio show.
Yes, we're really looking forward to that. I mean, the members of Code Pink have been doing some great activist work all over the country, and we know so many other activists and so many different social justice issues that it's going to be fun for us to be the hosts of the radio program rather than being the people being interviewed. And we look forward to contacting lots of people about all the good works that they're doing, so that we can have them on the Code
Pink. Mm-hmm. The Code Pink radio show, which will be debuting on WBAI. Oh, now I've just gotten message that Donald Trump has been shown on the Jumbotrons getting out of his limo and heading up to the...
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I may walk over to the center part of the mall and just see if I can see him on the Jumbotron. To go by helicopter, short hop because of the rain. It's rainy, but not pouring at the moment. But I guess the ceiling's low enough that they didn't want to do the helicopter ride.
Right.
That, 1,000 to bring him in.
Right. Now, Ann, I wanted to speak to you about, because you have some military experience yourself.
Yes, I was in the U.S. Army for 29 years. I retired as a colonel, and then I was a U.S. diplomat for 16 years. And resigned in 2003 in opposition to the war on Iraq.
So, as a soldier, I mean, speaking as a retired, former U.S. Army officer, and what is all of this militarizing of the 4th of July? Even in the dark.
Army band.
Well, as a military person, we always thought that 4th of July was an apolitical sort of thing. Certainly there were some military units that were in various 4th of July country, but the military wasn't dominating any of these parades, which were civilian parades for the citizens of the country to acknowledge the Independence Day of our country. And yet now President Trump was saying this is a salute to our military. I mean, we have plenty of salutes to the military. We have Veterans Day. We have Armed Forces Day. We have all sorts of salutes to the military. And to now the National Independence Day celebrations with the military is, he's doing it for his own political purposes. And he's hijacking it. And lots and lots of people are just very upset with him, to include a lot of Republicans.
Isn't it, when we think of big military parades, we think of China, we think of the Soviet Union, and not to say, the Soviet Union had Victory Day parade because they were invaded, by the Nazi army. I hear we're hearing it in the background right now.
The Star Spangled Banner's being played, and yeah, you're right. It's this whole thing of the militarism that our society is going into now, where we're looking more and more like Red Square, well, like Tiananmen Square, that the President of the United States is putting our military into positions that actually the military doesn't want to be in. There are reports that the military generals, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the head of each of the military services are not going to be at this event, that they're sending their subordinates to it because they think this is the politicalization of the military and using this National Day as that as a symbol of it.
Yeah, Donald Trump's foreign policy is an interesting thing, and it's funny that you hear that in the background. Because I think you've been to Korea, you've been to North Korea, you've marched with people in North Korea, and want peace on the Korean Peninsula. And I think we've talked in the past, Anne Wright, that you appreciate some of the things that Trump might have been doing. As far
indeed,
as,
indeed, yes, yeah,
and yet, yeah. There's some fear of that too.
Well, see, and in fact, Trump has now just taken on to the stage, and now we're having flyover. Oh gosh, I don't even know which kind of plane that was. It looks like it's about to run into the. And then there's another one that.
Yes.
So Trump is apparently down with the. And that was part of the Air Force One.
Oh, you saw the Air Force, his airplane, right? Air Force One.
Yeah. It wasn't the actual Air Force One, I don't think, but there's a fleet of several of them that are kind of look-alike, that like the Secretary of State uses and, you know, others use, and they use that one to fly over just as they were introducing. Trump. Now you can hear USA, USA, USA coming in on the speakers, and so the Trump extravaganza, the July 4th Trump now started in earnest.
I see. Would you like to continue with us, or are you listening to this? Would you rather listen to the speech?
No, I don't care to listen to the speech.
Good.
Thank you.
Right. We're going to cover it in the news, so I'd rather have you on if you don't mind staying on with us a little bit longer.
Sure, that'd be fine.
Let's talk about Trump and North
Hello.
Korea.
There he is,
I hear it. Trump and North Korea. What do you think about
We're
Trump and his connections now with Kim Jong-un in North Korea?
Well, I am pleased that the United States and North Korea are speaking again. It would have been horrible to have had two summits and not get anywhere, but I'm glad President Trump tweeted Kim Jong-un. I'm glad Kim Jong-un responded, and that they did meet in on the DMZ. And I do hope that our U.S. Government officials, our State Department, national security officials, with the exception of John Bolton, I hope that they are continuing their negotiations for all of our safety, for all of our safety and security. There needs to be peace on the Korean Peninsula, and the only way to get it is to have discussions. And if indeed the reports from the New York Times is a split in the Trump administration, and that part of the administration is saying that there's no way in the world the North Koreans are going to give up their weapons, their nuclear weapons, and that we need to accept that and try to work on whatever it is for containment or something like that, or guarantee they're not going to develop more. But that is the rational way to go about it, because there's no incentive at all for North Korea to give up its weapons when the United States is still talking about regime change.
Now, what this, because let's contrast that on the other hand with what's happening in Iran with between the United States and Iran. And it seems that if you already have a nuclear weapon like North Korea does, the United States treats you differently than if you're a rival country like Iran, which has no nuclear weapons.
Yeah, well, it is ironic that here he's talking to Kim Jong-un, and yet throwing away the JCPOA for Iran in his typical fashion, very belligerent toward the Iranians. You know, I was on a delegation to Iran in February.
You were on a delegation. Let me just say, because we missed part of that. You were on a delegation to Iran.
Yes, I was on Iran in February, and, you know, it was a peace delegation of American citizens going to Iran, members of the government to include the foreign minister, you know, that Americans don't want this war and or want any military conflict with Iran. And he says, of course, I know that. I know that. I know so many Americans. In fact, he spent a long time in the United States himself as a student and then as the first Iranian ambassador to the United Nations, the Iranian Revolution. So he knows well, and but our point in going, and in fact, Code Pink is having two more delegations going in September to continue to say to the Iranians that the people of the U.S. do not want war and that we are doing everything we can to keep our government from thinking war is the solution to international issues and problems.
So what do you make of this guy who's trying to make peace on one hand and making war on the other hand? I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, it makes no sense at all, except that's kind of what Trump is all about. He doesn't make sense in many ways that he goes after things. But he has said that he would talk with the Ayatollah, that he would talk with the leadership of Iran, but the Iranians are saying what's right now with increased sanctions and having thrown the JCPOA out, the nuclear agreement out, why should we even talk to you? So it's a dangerous situation with the Iranians having shot down a drone that was in, I firmly believe, was over their own territory. I mean, the U.S. has such an armada of naval vessels and with aircraft that are in that region that are continually trying to provoke. It's very, very difficult. I can just barely hear because Trump's voice is so loud back here. I just almost can't hear anything right now.
All right. So thank you very much for joining us. I'm glad I can.
Thank you so much.
Yes, I really appreciate the time you've taken. We're going to have to follow this up, and we're looking forward to having you on WBAI as a regular programmer with the Code Pink radio show, which is debuting at 11 a.m. Thursday the 18th. So thanks a lot for joining us.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, have fun. And that was an amazing conversation with someone right there in Washington, D.C. on the Mall with Ann Wright from Code Pink, who was talking about Donald Trump just as he was taking the stand and speaking to his supporters and obviously many, many protesters as well. I'm Paul DiRienzo. This is the WBAI Evening News. Our number, 212-209-2877. If you'd like to get in on this program and on this conversation, have some comments on what we've been doing today, again, you can join us at 212-209-2877. Recapping the news, a major earthquake rocks Southern California. No serious injuries so far reported. The president calls out the military to support American independence, and some Democratic candidates respond. So again, our number, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. 209-2877. If you'd like to join us and become a contributor to the WBAI News. This is your time. This is the talkback time. This is when we give the listeners their opportunity to have their say on what we cover here on the WBAI Evening News, which is heard Monday through Friday here on WBAI at 6 p.m., and which we try and give I don't really know how to characterize what we do except to say that we are a lot different than the regular news. Sometimes we cover some of the same stories, but we always do it from an interesting and different perspective. We're about information. We're about knowledge. We're also about political, doing the right thing politically. This has always been Pacifica, that's our name, an anti-war radio station that despite all the differences and different opinions that people might have here, and we should expect on a radio station like this, that we actually one thing that you sort of unites us is a desire to prevent the United States from going to war and exercising its great military armada, which has brought nothing but disaster and suffering to the world over my lifetime. And I cannot speak for the era before. I mean, we're all glad that we fought and crossed into France in 1945, 1944, and brought down the odious regime of the Nazis in Germany, for sure. But, you know, we balanced that against the senseless dropping of atomic bombs on the cities of Japan, even though the war was over. And we balanced that against the horrors that occurred during the Vietnam War, which have been portrayed for folks who don't remember or who weren't around in movies like Platoon by Oliver Stone. I'd like to ask you what you think about it. You know, as Ann was saying, and I've talked to many, I have friends, believe it or not, who are Trump supporters, who live down in the South and different places, and feel that he is, you know, bringing us peace in his own way, that he wants to remove the troops from foreign entanglements. At the same time, I have a lot of problems with any attempt to try and put a wall around America, and that to put a wall around America is in itself a form of aggression, because the reasons that people are coming to this country are often caused by the very economic system that we're promoting around the world. And you know, when we talk about when we see the horrors that occur on the border, where children are found dead in the river, and where the reasons for those people coming north is caused by the U.S. or caused by humans in their activities, which are contributing to the climate change that's bringing drought throughout Central America. And you know, the reports are clear that it's expected that as many as 2 million or more people from Central America will be coming. We're just seeing it very, very much at the beginning of what might be a huge displacement of humanity from areas that are being devastated by climate change. Again, our number, 212-209-2877 here on WBAI. And so what really does the 4th of July mean to you? What does it mean to the people within the listening area here at WBAI? Trump's people right now, to them, it's a very simplistic thing. You know, it's make America great again. It's screaming USA, USA. Many of them, sometimes I think, will just go home and go on with their lives after they have their little time. And America, if he doesn't get the U.S. into a war, will continue basically thinking back of this sort of interregnum of power. But look at Biden, look at Kamala Harris, look at these others who are presenting themselves. Will the Democrats really do any better? Or should we just really look more carefully at what kind of country we really want to create here in the United States? Do we want to create a country that is feared by the world, or do we want to really lead the world in a more progressive direction? I want a few maybe who think in the progressive side that under the right type of governance, this country could be a force for good in the world, but it cannot be a force for good in the world underneath the leadership that has both the Democrats and the Republicans have put forward, including Donald Trump, including the Clintons. you know, over the past. It's either neoliberalism or some, on one hand, you know, which had brought us the globalization that destroyed the economy and led to the situation we're in, and or then Donald Trump, the reaction to that, a right-wing reaction to that, which is better. And you're on the radio. Welcome to WBAI.
Hi. You asked, what does the 4th of July mean to me?
Yeah.
157 years ago, Charles Ludwig Dodgson mm-hmm. went on a fateful boat ride with Lorena Alice and Edith Liddell and Robinson Duckworth, which resulted in the book Alice in Wonderland.
And that's America to you, Alice in Wonderland.
It's not America to me. It's the 4th of July.
Uh-huh. Looking through the looking glass, sort of like the world through the looking glass. Or eating mushrooms and hallucinating. Thank you very much, caller. Next one. You're on the air. We don't have a lot of time, so we're going to make it quick. Oh, you're not on. So we don't have a lot of time. 212-209-2877. What does the 4th of July mean to you? We only got a couple of minutes. If you have an opinion, maybe you don't have an opinion. Maybe most people are just going about their, you know, this has become such a greedy country where everybody's just out to make their own and nobody really cares about any higher principle, right-wing, left-wing, or any other principle. All right, here we are. We have somebody on the phone, and we'll try and take your call. Welcome to WBAI.
Hi.
Yes. What does what does the 4th of July mean to you?
It's my birthday. And what it means.
Happy birthday.
Is, you know, we have to take America back, and that's the way we'll make America great again, because we've been run too long by the right wingers, and I think we need our freedom.
All right.
And the horrors that happened. The Indians, when the British came to hurt them, and the terrible things that were done to them, like, they deserve reparations just like the blacks.
Reparations.
And we need to stop that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where we should begin, with reparations for all the people who have been hurt by expansionist, imperialistic U.S. policies over the last several hundred years.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Thank you very much, caller, for that. Again, our number, 212-209-2877. We only have about 3 or 4 minutes left. What does the 4th of July mean to you? Okay, people have said it means Alice through the looking glass. Others, okay, you're on the radio. What does the 4th mean to you? Go ahead, you're on the radio.
Well, good evening. anyway, speaking of foreign policy and things like that, I just wanted to call and say, because you don't hear a lot about her, that Tulsi Gabbard, to me, is the expert on foreign policy. She is not for regime change. She has military background and experience. And also, 4th of July means to me my mother's birthday. So I'll leave it there.
All right. Thank you very much, caller. And we have someone else on the line. We're going to go to the next
thank
one.
You.
Thank you for that. Okay. Some folks have and you're on the radio. We don't have a lot of time. What does the 4th mean to you?
Okay. Not a lot of time. A deep history. The 4th of July means absolutely nothing to me. Nothing in the sense that I have, on one side, you know, people that were here first. On the other side, people that were kidnapped and brought over. And I'm not talking about the past in terms of the absolute continuation of the same policies, the same behavior, political and in mm-hmm. every other system of this so-called country.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. We're going to try to squeeze a couple more in. What does the 4th of July mean to you? Hello.
Yes, I'm calling in for the 4th of July.
Yeah. What's it mean to you? We don't have a lot of time. Make it quick.
Okay, it means to me the coming of Master Farah Muhammad. I'm in the Nation of Islam, and that's the true meaning of our teachings. Thank
all right.
you very much.
Very good. Thank you very much. And we have one more. Let's fit one more in. One more in. Let's get the last person in. 1 minute. We got 1 minute. Oh, we lost them anyway. All right. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been an extended version of WBAI Evening News. And thanks a lot for Ann Wright for joining us, and Ken Gale for doing a great job as an engineer. And we'll be seeing you tomorrow night on the WBAI Evening News, as we do Monday through Friday. Thanks a lot again. And Linda Perry and all the rest who make it possible. See you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock.
Luther King Jr. stood here on these very steps and called on our nation to live out the true meaning of